Mark.
For everybody, Representative Witt is going to have to jump out. He's got House Judiciary going, so we'll be moving, holding things back and forth as we go forward. Let's open a work session on House Bill 2579. Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 2579 prohibits the PUC from requiring costs associated with Yellow Page, costs and revenues associated with telecommunications utilities, unregulated advertising and directories such as Yellow Pages, from being allocated in to subsidize telecommunications rates. The principle behind this is that the directory advertising business is an unregulated business, whereas the telecommunications business is a regulated business, and the proponents of this measure believed it was inappropriate to take revenues from the unregulated competitive business and to impute them into the rate structure, thus artificially lowering the rates. I think what the subcommittee recognizes that the directory, the advertising business, is a competitive business and becoming increasingly so with things like internet advertising, and supported this bill in the name of fair competition. And this bill, if passed, will no longer allow the PUC to take any earnings or revenues from the directory advertising Yellow Page business and bring it into the rate-making process, but that the rate structures would have to stand on their own.
Representative Rosenbaum.
Can I declare a potential conflict of interest right now and it goes through the vote? Okay, I would like to declare a potential conflict of interest because I'm employed by a telecommunications provider. In addition, I'd like to correct the record.
Representative Rosenbaum declares a potential conflict of interest.
And on the staff measure summary, I think my name may have been inadvertently used instead of Representative Rasmussen in the Regulation Subcommittee vote, because I'm not on the Regulation Subcommittee. I haven't yet had a chance to vote on this.
I can attest, Mr. Chairman, that Representative Rosenbaum did not vote on this bill in Subcommittee.
Mr. Chair.
Representative
Rasmussen. I did vote against this bill in Subcommittee and will intend to continue to do so. I think that there's a fair amount of argument to be made about how the Yellow Pages were indeed developed and how the benefit of the Yellow Pages revenue needs to continue to pass through to the ratepayers. And I am not convinced that there is sufficient high enough alternative competition to carrier Yellow Pages to justify the removal from the process. We're looking at according to testimony I'm looking at here, dated March 24th, U.S. West shareholders would have a $58 million annual windfall, and GTE moves to $14 million annual windfall, and I just can't go here.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think the characterization windfall, frankly, is not the right characterization. And I think Representative Rasmussen's position 10 or 15 years ago probably would have some very, very strong merit in that at that point in time, the directory business, the Yellow Page type business, really had not yet developed competitively like it has today. But I think when you look at the tremendous variety of ways in which advertising can be conveyed and directories can be conveyed, including the Internet, I think it's appropriate at this point in time that we recognize that these are two separate businesses, one regulated and one not regulated, and by imputing in these revenues, what we're doing is we're telling these companies that have directory advertising businesses that if you run your business well, thank you, we're going to take a big chunk of those revenues and we're going to impute them to lower your rates on your regulated business.
You have a motion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would move House Bill 2579 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Witt moves House Bill 2579 to the floor with a due pass. Is there an amendment?
I'm looking.
To the floor with a due pass recommendation. Question? Please call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
No.
No.
Simon.
Excuse.
Whit.
Aye.
Terrell.
Aye. House Bill 2579 moves to the floor. Let's open a public hearing on Senate Concurrent Resolution 5. Jim, do you want to bring us up to speed?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Senate Concurrent Resolution 5A sends an invitation to Kim DeJong, President of the Republic of Korea, to make an official visit to the state of Oregon.
Welcome, Senator. Chairman, do you want to tell us a little bit more about the purpose of the resolution?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair here, and then members of the committee. For record, my name is John Lim, State Senator from District 11. As a Korean-American myself, and then also the people from South Korea, we are grateful to the American people who saved South Korea from the North Korean invasion in 1953. SCR 5 is the resolution that extends invitation to Kim Dae-jung, the President of the Republic of Korea, to make an official visit to our state. Mr. Kim, he visited most of the West Coast cities, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Seattle, even the Vancouver, B.C., but he never came to our city as the president. I think it's about time to extend our invitation to visit our state. He is the first that the president ever elected as an opposite party. Even that before he was elected under the President Park Chung-hee, he was branded as a communist. And then when he was staying in Japan, he was arrested by his member. And then while bringing to South Korea through the Sea of Japan, they were going to drown him. But the information got out, went to the Washington, D.C., that the American president intervened and saved his life. Finally, after 53 years the Republic of Korea established, finally Mr. Kim was able to get elected to the president of Republic of Korea 1998. He is known in South Korea as the Mandela of South Korea because he has been suffered, he was arrested, he's imprisoned, threatened to kill, and sentenced to death, but somehow he survived and became the President of the Republic of Korea. I believe it is a great honor for me and our state to invite him to visit our state. As we already know, that South Korea is now number one trading partner with our state. Washington State, 30% business South Korea went down, California almost 50%, but our state, that is the only state in our country, our trade with South Korea went up. So we are the Korean that the trade is concerned. This is the number one trading partner over Japan and Canada as far as the dollar volume is concerned. Already it's a known fact that the $1.3 billion invested in the Hyundai Eugene area, employing more than 400 people at this time, is continued to expand. Nike industry was a trade with Korea, so a lot of things going on. Even 4 years ago, I was able to have a sister state, Cheollanam-do. We have now official sister state in South Korea. As a matter of fact, President Kim Dae-jung from that state. We have about almost 30,000 Korean Americans living in mostly metro area. So when President Kim Dae-jung officially visit our state, the Portland will be known all over South Korea in Asia that the Portland is a great place to live. Right now, people are confused. I said I'm from Portland. They asked me, Portland, Maine, or Portland and Oregon? And I think when he comes, he will bring a lot of business people and journalists. I think that when he comes, that the Portland will be the eye in the nation, in South Korea, and around the world. Not investing that much money, we can advertise millions of dollars around the world. I think this will be a big plus. And unfortunately, that couple of weeks ago, I introduced that the welcome to visit but don't stay. But that is going to change. We welcome you and please stay. With that, I'm open to answer any questions. I understand that Chair Hill a little bit concerned about the line 12 here. Whereas Oregon citizens have been well represented by a state senator of Korean descent since 1993. And I didn't ask to put this word in. And as a matter of fact, I was the only Korean-American state senator in the nation. Because of the reason maybe they put it in, to me, it is immaterial to me. Only problem, I got a call a couple days ago from the embassy in Washington, D.C. President of South Korea, Kim Dae-jung, possibly came to United States to meet the President Clinton sometime early July. So if we have any chance to inviting him to our state, I need to move fast. So if this bill passed, possibly I'm already talking to South Korea. I might be taking this letter, this SCR 5 resolution to Korea, personally like to deliver it to the president. Because of the urgency, I hope the committee look at this issue as soon as possible. If you think that is a hindrance, just take it out with the conception amendment. And I need to have this bill as soon as possible so I can carry this to Korea.
Thank you, Senator. My concern is not that you have not well served your constituency and Oregon has not been well served with you. I just don't think it's a good idea in terms of that sitting legislators have references to themselves in bills that we pass through the legislature. I think I would feel more comfortable moving forward if we striking that language. With no aspersions in terms of to yourself, men.
Mr.
Chair? Representative Rasmussen.
Are we in work session?
We are in public hearing. Any further questions for the Senator?
Mr. Chase, it's up to the Chair and the members to do that. I have no objection at all in one way or another.
Thank you, Senator. Let's close the public hearing and open a work session.
Mr. Chair? Permission to do a conceptual amendment?
I've asked Jim, he's come up with something, because Senator Lim is going to Korea, and I think it would be wholly appropriate for this Legislative Assembly to authorize him to hand deliver a copy of it in the resolution part of the...
What is it that you want to have done? I'm comfortable
striking lines 12 and 13.
That's what I was...
And adding language... In the resolution part of the resolution, resolve that that Senator John Lim is authorized to carry this resolution to the appropriate representatives of the government of the Republic of Korea, and then we'll add that language in there.
If we're doing,
it might be easier, just Mr. Chair, if I may, just to strike out the line 12 and 13. Then, you know, that the eventually I will just carry it whether the language is in there or not.
I'm not sure. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I'm very excited to have him here, and I'm very appreciative of your doing this work. I also am already planning to go to the World Cup soccer in 2002, and maybe we can see a game together. But I do think that... having the senator be recognized as an official representative and carrying it, does carry value for the message and for the state. And I appreciate the modesty, but I think that it would be valuable to all of us.
Is it appropriate to add some of the references around the state senator of Korean descent? Well, no. I just moved the bill. Move what you have going. I love the bill. I would be happy to move it as is. I'm happy to move it to conceptual. What is the chair's pleasure? What are we doing?
I already stated my pleasure.
Do we need to suspend the rules before we move a conceptual amendment?
Yes. Senator Rasmussen, Representative Rasmussen, moves to suspend the rules for the purpose of adopting a conceptual amendment. Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, move the. Do you want to do the time?
No. Representative Rasmussen.
Move the conceptual amendment as outlined by staff.
Jim, do you want to go over it?
The conceptual amendment, once again, members of the committee, Chair Hill. On page 1, you would delete lines 12 and 13. On page 2, after line 11, insert the following language. Resolved that Senator John Lim is authorized to carry this resolution to the appropriate representatives of the government of the Republic of Korea, semicolon, and be it further.
Everybody understand the motion? Discussion?
My acceptance of this conceptual amendment is in no way a reflection of the high... I hold Senator Lim in very high esteem, but I do accept that sitting legislators, the issue you outlined, but please do not take this as a reflection. I do hold you in very high esteem.
I hope you don't. I'm very concerned what the path that leads us down.
Mr. Chair, chances when everything works out, I might be able to carry this myself. But it might not be also. If I'm busy, I might not go just to send it over there.
Yes. So. Understood. And language is just that if you do get the opportunity to go over there, this would be an appropriate thing for you to do as our representative.
Mr. President, a question. Will the addition of that language cause a fiscal impact on this?
Thank you. Please.
Is there any objection to the adoption of the conceptual amendment? Hearing seen none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Decker.
I move Senate current resolution number 5 to the floor as amended with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Decker moves Senate concurrent resolution 5 as conceptually amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Hearing seen none. Is there any objection? Hearing seen none, so ordered. Show the absent. The exception is excused. Representative King?
I would have had the opportunity to carry if you don't have anybody else in mind.
Representative King, please. Let's open a work session on House Bill 2093. Do we have amendments?
There are 3 amendments.
Are
they not? We have them for the members.
There's 3 amendments?
3. There's 3 amendments.
For 2093?
There's 3. There's 1.
Mr. Chairman, we have -3 amendments that were just recently delivered on House Bill 2093.
Just for the committee's understanding, this bill has a subsequent referral down to the Committee on Revenue. What this does is allows the discussion to go forward on the issue of capital for investing in new businesses in Oregon. It is in addition to the bill, printed bill. Were there other amendments adopted?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The subcommittee adopted the -1 amendments.
So this would, and the -3s will not change any of that. It'll be in addition and right on the bottom because the appropriate relating clause. And the Committee on Revenue can make a choice as to whether they can remove them and what the revenue impact is of it. Everybody understand what's...
So, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, what are the differences between the -3 and the
-1? Were the -3 the same issue?
No. Mr. Chair.
Representative Decker.
The -1 was the logging equipment issue, which I believe was our committee adopted.
Yes.
The -3 is the venture capital... sending that along down to revenue, the venture capital discussion that we had. And in that light, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the -3.
Representative Deckert moves the -3 amendments to House Bill 2093. Discussion? Representative King?
One, I need to declare a potential conflict.
Representative King declares a potential conflict of interest.
Number two, you know, judging from the temperature of the paper as it was handed to us, I'd like to have at least a moment or two to have a chance to read through.
Okay. Is there...
I'm pretty fast. I'm on page three.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rasmussen.
I was finally reading the staff summary of the other things that are going on in this bill. It looks like we're just throwing a whole bunch of things in. Never mind.
Mr. Chair.
I catch on eventually. Christmas comes early around here.
Only if the Revenue Committee agrees. Representative Crummell.
Mr. Chair, if I may address that, these amendments for this concept was introduced at the subcommittee on Wednesday, and it was decided at that time, if memory serves me correctly, that we would adopt the Dash 1 amendments because we were trying to get to the tax incentive, if you will, for the logging companies to buy more environmentally sound or more environmentally sensitive equipment. The Dash 3 amendments were then proposed, but were not adopted by the subcommittee.
Correct.
But we were served with notice that they would be brought here with the intention of sending us down to Revenue to see what the Revenue Committee would think about that. So from that perspective, and that's why the Dash 3s were not attached as the bill comes to you from subcommittee. I just wanted to clarify.
Correct.
And I would, if I may, Mr. Chair, also just note that Representative Montgomery did express a concern about voting a lot of things into the one bill.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
I'm still not done. Do you want to come back to this a little later?
Our issue is we have a motion on the... Representative King, if you don't mind, members, we can adopt the Dash 3s. We'll close the work session. We can continue to work on. We can go to some other bills, and you can piecemeal go back, and then you can come back, and if you want to then change your vote, we can open back up, let you change your vote on the adoption of the Dash 3s.
Could we allow someone to withdraw a motion to
sure.
pass something and then be able to come back?
I would be willing to withdraw the motion. That
okay.
would be...
close the work session for the time being on House Bill 2093. Get right into it here. House Bill 2734, open a work session. We have amendments.
Mr. Chairman, you have, or you will have shortly before you the Dash 4 amendments.
Not yet.
Should be of an equally, well, they're probably a little cooler than the previous bill's amendments.
Okay.
No, a little bit warmer.
A bit warmer.
Oh, yeah.
Does this have to withdraw anywhere?
Yes, it does. This bill needs to go down to Ways and Means. It is not by prior reference, but it needs to go to Ways and Means.
But at least we're still dealing with bonding, I think. Don't ask me to do this at the end of session.
I got the same problem.
Oh,
Mr. Chair,
Representative Rasmussen.
Where did these amendments come from?
These amendments are offered by the Attorney General's Office and the Automobile Dealers Association.
And they represent a conversation. I mean, they're the.
Would the committee like discussion on it?
Well, yeah.
Darrell, would you like to come up and talk about your amendment?
Is this a work session or a
work session?
Work session. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Darrell Fuller, representing the Oregon Auto Dealers Association. The amendments you have before you replace the original bill and are in some ways essentially the substance of Senate Bill 382. The Attorney General's Office at the end of last session created a financial protection work group made up of members of the industry and consumer protection lawyers and others to look for ways to better protect consumers in the instances of vehicle dealers going broke or somehow going out of business. The substance of those work group meetings was a recovery fund concept, which you see an amendment form before you. Because the amendments are just prepared as of today, the speaker has requested that the bill go to Ways and Means to look at both the fiscal and revenue impacts and the substantive impacts because of today's deadline.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rasmussen.
I believe this is a bill that creates a fund funded in part by a study on the purchase of each car and funded overall for and moving toward a cost recovery or damage recovery fund and away from bonding or at least
Mr. Chairman,
non-bonding.
Representative Rasmussen is not intended to replace the bond at all.
Right.
It does create a recovery fund that consumers would have access to in case of getting a court judgment.
Okay.
The initial funding of the program is through a $5 surcharge on dealers for every vehicle they purchase till the fund is created.
Okay.
It is stabilized by fees paid by dealers who enter the marketplace.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I'm comfortable with moving this one.
Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Fuller, is it true that somewhere in this these Dash 4 amendments that the fee that dealers collect for each vehicle sold increases?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Witt, on the final, I believe, two or three sections of the bill, a current administrative rule under the Department of Justice that allows vehicle dealers to recover costs for processing paperwork for titling and registration, registering vehicles on behalf of DMV is moved from statute to rule. And is adjusted from $35 to $45, which is on the low end of the scale among the 48 states that have those fees.
Mr. Chairman, follow.
Representative Witt.
By the way, does it go from, you mean from rule to statute, don't you? You said statute to rule.
I'm sorry, I apologize. Representative Hill, Representative Witt, that is correct. It is current Department of Justice rule. This would move it into statute.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Witt.
So there is a, by statute now, dealers are getting an additional $10 that they can charge on each vehicle sold for processing fee, and at the same time, the dealer is paying $5 into this fund. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Witt, that is essentially correct. The $5 dealer fee for creating the recovery fund would only occur for a short period of time in the initial funding of the recovery fund, then that would go away.
Follow, Mr. Chair. Who's paying the $5? Is the consumer paying the $5, or are they just now going to be paying the $45?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Witt, as the bill's written, it is the dealer that pays that fee. The initial concept on it was the idea of the consumer paying the fee, but that got into difficulty with the constitutional requirement that titling and registration fees and gas taxes be used only for highway fund purposes, and so the consumer could not pay that fee.
One more follow, Mr. Chair.
Elizabeth.
So in other words, the with the language of these Dash 4 amendments, everybody, as they buy a car now, will be subject to a $45 fee, maximum fee by statute, whereas previously the maximum fee by rule was $35, and temporarily the dealers will be paying $5 into this fund, but once that fund grows to $700,000, they no longer have to pay into the fund. So am I understanding that correctly?
Mr. Chair, Representative Witt, to some degree, once the $5 fee goes away when the fund is created, dealers will still, new entrances into the dealer marketplace will still pay to keep the fund balanced. The current $35 fee that would be increased to $45, which is, again, in 48 other states, is a negotiable fee, just as the price of a vehicle is negotiable. So that is not a fee that dealers can require consumers to pay.
Any further questions? Is there a motion to adopt the Dash 4s?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rasmussen.
I move the Dash 4 amendments in House Bill 2734.
Representative Rasmussen moves the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 2734. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Witt?
I'd just make the point that I'm uneasy because what we're doing now is we're trading something that was in rule, putting it into statute that is in probably the overwhelming majority of cases is going to raise consumer fees above the increase being more than the dollars that are going to be going into this fund. And to that extent, I think this is imposing certain costs on consumers as they buy vehicles that, you know, provides a net windfall here, I think, to the auto dealers as part of their participation in this plan for this fund. And that concerns me.
I think that's one of the issues that they can discuss in ways in
that. Just a couple of questions that I think should also be asked, and it plays means that I'm not going to take the time to ask them here today. And that is, first of all, how many dealers go out of business on a regular basis? Is that part of your... And if a used car dealer goes out of business, how are people damaged? I've never gone back to a used car dealer after I bought a car from them, until I bought another car. And then what happens if the fund itself goes up?
We'll note for the record, you did not ask those questions here, and that they'll be asked on a ways and means.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Motion before us is to adopt the dashboard. Any further discussion? Any objection? Possible conflict. Representative King, do you like to state a possible conflict of interest? His brother is a lobbyist.
Mr. Chair, I'll just note an objection for the record.
Representative Witt will be noted in the record as objecting to the adoption of the Dash 4s. The Dash 4s are adopted. Chair moves House Bill 2734 is amended to the Committee on Ways and Means. Discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing seeing none, House Bill 2734 goes to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Rasmussen.
I
went to note an objection for the record, Mr. Chair.
I apologize. Representative Witt is objecting. Thank you. Let's open a work session on House Bill 3388. Jim, do you want to describe what we're looking at?
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 3388 addresses sweepstakes promotions. It declares certain sweepstakes promotions to be unlawful trade practices. It defines sweepstakes promotion to be any offer of goods or services accompanied by an offer of participation in a contest of chance. Adds mailing sweepstakes promotion to the definition of abuse under the Elder Abuse Prevention Act. When the regulation subcommittee worked this, they adopted the Dash 2 amendments, which make changes to the Unlawful Trade Practices Act portion of this. They also adopted the conceptual amendments presented by Pete Shepard. And what would you like?
I need a copy of that. Sorry.
What the conceptual amendments did, however, is replace the entire bill. So we left this up to Legislative Council to work out the differences in some of the definitions and come back with the amendment that you have before you, which is the Dash 3.
Okay. Representative Deckard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 3388 comes from the Regulations Subcommittee, Pacific West Committee, unanimously passed. And just for the members that are on Trade and Economic Development, I'll give a brief highlight of what my bill seeks to do. It would ultimately regulate the way state contests are promoted. The stories of people, generally elderly, that are taken advantage of by sweepstakes mailing are bad examples of the power that some of these sweepstakes mailings can have. Cite one just case that we went over in the sub. An 88-year-old gentleman flew from California to Tampa Bay to collect his winnings after receiving a letter saying, Mr. Lusk, final results are in and they're official. You're a $12 million winner. The amendments that have been passed out, the Dash 2 amendments, simply stated that there had to be a disclaimer on it in 12-point bold type so that citizens such as Mr. Lusk would understand that their chances of winning were not 1 and 2. Then the Dash 3 amendments are the DOJ language the DOJ language that was successfully amended.
Representative Crummel?
Thank you. Representative Deckard, about how big is, well, I mean, I'm trying to remember from my own computer, but about how big is 12 point? Would you say, for example, about what's on our agenda is, you know, where it's describing what the bill does, is that about 12 point?
That's about 11, 12 point.
Yes.
Close.
About 11.9, is it?
It's close.
It's a subtle distinction between 11 and 12, and it depends upon the typeface as well as the actual site. But
could you go out on the board?
That's your, I could, and I could show you what tariffs are all about, too.
Mm-hmm.
I used to teach desktop publishing.
Thank you. I was just trying to establish how big the 12 type is.
Mr. Chair, I believe that that Representative Crummel had it, that they're about the same size as
Now that we've interrupted Representative Deckard, anyway, are the Dash 2 amendments incorporated now into the Dash 3 amendments?
The Dash 2 have been adopted. The Dash 3, which don't need to be adopted, but they are just a reiteration of, we adopted in the subcommittee, which I was just specifying before. They adopted conceptually the DOJ amendment, which now that we just received them back from legislative council, are the Dash 3.
Mr. Chair, I don't have the Dash 2's worst death measure summary.
No, I don't have the Dash 3's. Representative Rasmussen just gave them to me.
I dropped a copy on your
desk. Dash 3's?
I don't have anything.
Oh, that was a mistake.
I have the Dash 3's. The staff just came.
Would there be any more?
Please, you don't have the staff measure summary, please?
Sure.
I don't have that to at once.
Sorry to interrupt you.
I don't think anybody, it wasn't in the packet.
It wasn't in the packet. I didn't
see the original.
So let's get copies of this. Let's close the work session on 3388. We'll get copies made and we'll come back to this. Let's open up the work session on House Bill 3556.
Thank you, Chairman Hill. House Bill 3556 addresses mechanical repair of elevators and brings within oversight people who would be working on elevators that would need to be possessing other skills, as electrician, et cetera, and gives oversight so that we can maintain elevators safely. And I don't remember where we're at here, but I believe we've amended 3556 with the Dash 1 amendment. I would move adoption of 3556 as amended.
Representative King moves House Bill 3556 as amended to the floor with the pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I just point out that this also sets up a fee of $50 for a license for limited elevator journeymen. And the testimony in committee was that under current regulations and statutes that folks who are working on elevators don't have the requisite training to work on them, and this sets up a program of licensing them and charging a small fee for that cost.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Representative Crummel?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My only question, I'm not sure if it's a question or a statement, but it's the design, I guess it's a question for Representative King. Is the design of the bill such that it's going to improve safety for the people, for the end users, the people that are going to be using the elevators and escalators and elevators and all that stuff?
The answer is yes. It's for all parties, but particularly to protect the public, and also to, to see if the state has appropriate oversight, and also to see if people doing the work are also appropriate.
Follow-up? And this, this small $50 fee that Representative Witt was talking about is simply to help fund that program so that to fund the training program itself, is that correct?
It's to fund the cost of doing the oversight.
So it's a, one more follow-up, I'm sorry. So it's a self-funding program?
That's correct.
Okay.
Any further discussion? There any objection? Hearing seeing none, House Bill 3566 goes to the floor.
Oh, there it is.
Open up a work session on House Bill 3558.
Chairman Hill, I recommend House Bill 3558, as amended by the Dash 1 Amendment, covers the allowance of plumbers to install a liquid propane gas tank. And I would move 3558 as amended with the due pass recommendation to the floor.
Representative King moves House Bill 3558 as amended. To the floor for the due pass recommendation. Representative Rasmussen?
The fact that there's a dash one attached to this, does that mean that we have a conceptual amendment that's sketched up in the bill?
Should be.
Mr. Chairman, the member should have copies of the dash one amendment. If they don't, I can get it for you.
Yes.
I have them. I just can't remember if we conceptually, this is one of the conceptual amendment specials or.
This was adopted in subcommittee?
I believe that the committee had this when it was adopted.
Okay. Thank you.
It was.
Question okay. For us is to move the bill to the floor, Representative Witt.
Mr. Chairman, it was amended in subcommittee.
Yeah. Is there any objection to moving House Bill 3558 to the floor? Representative Rosenbaum?
It's just a question. So as amended, the bill now still exempts apprentices and journeyman plumbers from getting this license, but then goes on to say that they can't, unless they have the license, they can't install these things? I guess it's some sort of circular.
John, where did you leave?
They were there just a second ago.
They were just there a second. Mm-hmm. They step out for I believe it's their amendment.
I think someone went to see if they're standing in the hall.
Well, I mean, just to further my thought, I'm now reading the language, and it says they may not install an LP gas tank or make any connection to one unless the apprentice or journeyman plumber is licensed as required under this section. But yet the thrust of this bill is to exempt them from the licensing.
Mr. Chairman, I think I can clear that up.
Representative Witt?
I think what the bill is saying is that if you look in paragraph 5, a person who holds a valid journeyman's plumber certificate or is an approved journeyman plumber apprenticeship established is exempt from the licensing requirements. And the bill says except as provided in subsection 5, a person shall not engage in the work.
Answer the question.
Excuse me, out of breath, running from hearing downstairs. Burden Waste Plumbing, Heating, Cooling Contractors Association. What the bill does, and the purpose of the amendments, is to make clear that while the journeyman is exempt from the fire marshal's license to do ordinary plumbing work on an LP system, if they go in the LP business, they are still required to get the license.
Anybody understand?
Yes, but I guess I'll take his word for it. I'm not sure I see exactly how it. how it fits in, but I think once you read the engrossed version, it will probably make more sense.
If I may, Mr. Chair, how it works is that in the amendments, it says, except a journeyman plumber or apprentice may not install an LP gas tank, which is the large tank and the siding of that tank, or make a connection to the tank. And it is that that distinguishes between working on the house and installing or working on the tank. If you install or work on the tank, you have to be licensed by the fire marshal. If you're working on the other side of the line on the house, that is normal, ordinary plumbing work, and you do not have to be licensed by the fire marshal.
Okay. I knew that. We had the motion, right? There's the floor. Is there any objection? No objection. Should I represent Declan Hughes? House Bill 3558 goes to the floor. Unless you've discussed that.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Ross.
Did we move 2734 out, or was it?
Ways and Means.
We'll amend it. Okay.
2734 went to Ways and Means.
I know there's one bill we started to work, move
it
that's,
to. That's 2093. Are we prepared to go back to 2093? Open work session on House Bill 2093. Of the dash three amendments.
Mr. Chair, thank you for allowing the opportunity to review the bill.
My pleasure. We allow it occasionally, not always, but occasionally.
And as I mentioned before, I have stated my potential conflict of interest. I'd like to point out to the committee section 14 of page 8. I think that pretty well the balance of the information is just very typical things that would attribute to the boilerplate one would find in a prospectus. I have written venture capital prospectuses before. I'm not an attorney, so I didn't do the legal part. I had other people do that, but I participated in preparing. And so I would point out that what's unique about this in terms of a venture capital investment program, that this is to help businesses in Oregon. And Section 14 says a credit against the taxes imposed by ORS chapter shall be allowed for consideration paid by the taxpayer. And then in paragraph 2 on line 14, it goes on to say that the credit would be equal to 15% of the amount invested or no more than $250,000. This is something that would provide incentive for investing in venture capital in Oregon. By its nature, the beneficiary of the investment and the tax credit probably is someone of high income to be able to be suitable to invest in venture capital. And, I'm not saying those things, in support or opposition. I'm just helping to make sure that people understand what we're doing that's unique here. As I'm looking at this, I do have some frustration that we're being dealt with what I think is a pretty significant concept in such short notice. I think where I would come down on this is that it probably is worth a pilot to give it a try to find out if this is a good idea. I'd be interested in knowing if it happens in other states. At the same time, even if it wasn't happening in other states, I think it's worthy of a pilot. I can say from experience that there is a substantial shortfall of venture capital in the state of Oregon. When you go to places like San Francisco, Los Angeles, there's a lot of that activity, and it might be easier to track, but when you're in Oregon, you're far away from that, it makes it more difficult for venture capitalists to come to the state and be able to make good choices and monitor their investments. So this is, an effort to deal with that. and that this also is to address having a source of capital that goes beyond, you know, the family angel, which often gets tapped out very quickly. So I'm willing to support this bill because I think it's worthy of a pilot, and we can find out whether it's a good idea or not with the testing.
I think and one of the other things, Representative King, you have to keep in mind is that this has a steep hill to climb because of the tax credits and our ability to afford it, and that's, you know, going to be a big issue down in revenue, and components of it really need to look at that. Yes.
What is the source of the Dash 3 amendments?
Dash 3s are the Oregon Emerging Business Initiative. And here, President King?
Something I was not able to discern from the material here is what occurs in secondary market. Typically, venture capital shares from the limited partners, they're not traded very often. It's difficult to do, but it can and does happen. And I certainly would not wish to be in the position of offering the tax credit to secondary market transactions.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Simmons.
I see that the first section of the bill, the dash ones were amended in previously.
Yes.
Is that correct?
This is not an amendment to the bill. This is trailing on the bill.
This would be in addition to?
In addition to everything else.
I'm a little bit concerned about bogging this bill down. And
it's going to revenue. Revenue can, my intention here is to get this into revenue. They can strip it off the bill and find another vehicle if there's the dollars. I am well aware this is a steep hill, but probably smart money says it won't end up on the bill if the original part of the bill goes. It's just to be able to move the issue along. This is a vehicle to do it.
Well, I would vote no on it. I mean, a motion to amend in the Dash 3 simply because I think it's important to maintain some of the personal property taxes as it relates to logging equipment and the ability of people to provide some benefit for themselves through tax issues and as it relates to logging equipment. And I just think it's another vehicle for the Dash 3.
Representative Witt?
Mr. Chairman, I'll support it, and I would point out to Representative Simmons that certainly I'm on Revenue Committee, and I'd be receptive to him coming down to the Revenue Committee and talking about that. And I'm not a big proponent of the Dash 3 amendments, Representative, but I'm willing to move the bill for the purposes of getting it down to revenue and dealing with it there.
Representative Rosenbaum?
Thank you. It looks like we actually have close to a quorum of the Revenue Committee contained on this committee, and I would just say, having sat through numerous discussions on tax credits that are in the law right now and the difficulty, great difficulty we had with getting rid of them once they were there, I have a problem with putting more into the law, and I guess I would object to the amendment on that basis as well as the bill.
Mr. Chair, I support the adoption of the Dash 3 into the bill.
Representative Rasmussen, do you have a comment for me?
Longer speech than probably should be given here. I have an opportunity to work for and be friends with people who end up in high technology startups, and I'm well aware that we have a very real capitalization issue in Oregon around high tech startups, and would love to. I guess I find myself wishing I'd known about this particular concept a lot earlier in session than I do right now. I don't have a revenue report attached to the Dash 3s. If it's the Chair's desire, I will support moving the amendments of the Dash 3s into this particular bill in order to generate a revenue impact statement in revenue. But once I see that particular revenue impact statement, I may find myself in a place where I have to say, lovely idea, can't afford it this session.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
And I will also indicate to Representative Simmons that this particular piece won't hopefully will not kill the whole bill, that if we end up killing the whole bill in revenue, or my particular advocacy about the whole killing the whole bill will be on a Christmas tree ornament by Christmas tree ornament basis. So
we just take an axe right to the trunk.
Okay.
That's not what we're going to do.
Mr. Chair, I will support the Dash 3s only to get them there.
Thank you very much.
And use this as a vehicle, but I would hope that revenue will separate it out so that the lodging is not jeopardized.
That is not my intention.
Do we have other vehicles available? Because I see the relating clause is relating to
the transportation. Friday, Representative Simmons, and the 30th of April.
Mm.
So whose planning was this, Mr. Chair?
I'm sorry, what?
Whose planning was this? Or is that one of those questions we shouldn't be asking?
That's probably an inappropriate question.
Yes, Representative King.
To shamelessly lobby the Revenue Commission, quorum is present. I would want to point out that since this is venture capital, regardless of the tax credits there or not, we likely will have some revenue impact because they don't always work out. Sometimes you have losses, and those will be deducted. So just because you hear a credit impact doesn't mean that that's a whole number. If I, in the end, only be part of the number for part of my business.
And with that, I believe, Representative King, that you closed with a motion to adopt the Dash 3s into House Bill 2093.
I'm very supportive, and good luck.
Thank you very much. Representative King moves the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 2093. Call the roll, Annetta. Excuse.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
No.
Simmons.
No.
Aye. House Bill 20 or Dash 3 amendments are adopted into House Bill 2093.
Mr. Chair,
move House Bill 2093 to wherever.
I move House Bill 2093 as amended to the Committee on Revenue.
Representative Witt moves House Bill 2093 as amended to the Committee on Revenue. Discussion. Representative King.
Well, I volunteered to serve on a committee like this because I thought my investment experience would be helpful, and now I find out I have to declare that I may have a conflict of interest on lots of things that come through. So maybe next time I should be on a committee I know absolutely nothing about.
There you go. Representative King declares a potential conflict of interest.
Sorry, for the board of rules.
Any further discussion? Call the roll, please. Yeah, that was adopted in just so everybody knows, the Dash ones were adopted in subcommittee.
Aye.
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 No.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. House Bill 2093 moves to Committee on Revenue. Okay. Let's open a work session on House Bill 3336.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 3336 requires reimbursement to providers of transient lodging of at least 5% of transient lodging tax. And with the Dash 3 amendment, the effective tax period begins July 1st, 1999. This was one where Representative Montgomery was concerned that we may need an emergency clause on there. I'm told we do not need an emergency clause on there, but that date can be changed to July 1st, 1999, which is what the Dash 3 amendments do. The Dash 3 also includes the Dash 2 amendments.
This is in, were the dash threes adopted in?
The subcommittee adopted the dash twos and a conceptual date change. The dash three incorporates the dash twos and its conceptual date change. The dash threes were not adopted by the subcommittee, but everything in the dash threes was.
So
we need to adopt.
We do not need to adopt the dash threes because they're previously adopted. Is that correct?
Yes. Mr. Chair, they were previously adopted by conceptual amendment.
Representative Witt.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 3336 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rasmussen.
I'd like to propose an amendment to that motion that it moves to the Revenue Committee.
Representative Witt.
Mr. Chairman, I'm opposed to the motion, to the amendment to the motion.
Let me, Mr. Chair, if I may, this was heard in our subcommittee, and I think that sending it down to revenue for it would not be my intention to send it down there to die, but rather to get a fair look at what the impact on local government is, because there will be a revenue impact on local government. The reason why is because currently there are a few, not very many, but there are a few governments in the state that do not pay their hoteliers anything for collecting their tax. Basically, what this measure does is say that they have to pay 5% minimum to their hoteliers for the hoteliers just do it as a holdback. That being the case, some cities, particularly the ones that don't currently have any kind of a payment that they or withhold that the hotelier is able to take, they will have an impact. The largest in testimony that we saw was with regards to the city of Portland. I would state, however, the same thing that I stated in our subcommittee, and that is that I think that as governments, if we're going to expect somebody else to collect our tax for us, then we damn well better cover their expenses, or at least a portion thereof. In testimony, the city of Portland did state that if they were a tax collecting entity for another government entity, that they would want their expenses or their overhead covered. And I see business people as being in that same boat, and that's why I am in favor of this measure and not working for it on the floor. It's not my intention to see it go down to revenue to die, but rather to go down to revenue, but see what the impact on local government is, and then move it out to the floor so that everyone makes the decision on the floor based on information that they on fair information. So I do support the motion to send it to the floor. To send it to revenue, and that's why, because of that.
Mr. Chair,
Representative King,
the concern I have may influence what your decision is. It may not, but I feel strongly that the motel industry is having to pay an expense. There's a burden to them in terms of collecting tax. At the same time, we pass a lot of laws that impact local government and cost them money or lose revenue for them. And I think that this bill, has the potential to be able to solve, both dilemmas. And so I would like to state that in its present form, I would vote against the bill. But if we eliminated paragraph 4 on the second page, line 4, that has the effect of prohibiting local government from being able to raise the tax to allow them to recover what that loss is for them, then I think that would be potentially fair to both concerns, that the motel industry would be able to be able to collect for what it costs them to service that. At the same time, the local government would be able to maintain their revenue integrity.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Witt.
I'm you know, my concern here is that when an imposition is placed upon private business owners to do work for government, such as collecting tax revenues, there should be some fair remuneration for that work as it is done. Now, I noticed that in many cities around the state of Oregon, cities have adopted those policies, some have not. And I think really the issue in front of us is one of fundamental fairness, and that's why I'm supporting the bill. But nonetheless, Mr. Chairman, based upon looking at the sentiment of the committee, I will not, I will no longer oppose the motion. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, we'll
yeah, I will no longer oppose the amendment offered by Representative Rasmussen to move the bill to revenue.
Information that I have indicates that 67% of the jurisdictions out there currently do allow, or 73% of the total currently do allow 5% collection fee. Another 9% of them allow a collection fee of between 1% and 4%, and only 18% of them don't allow any collection fee at all. So the effect on local government is going to be very, very minimal at best. And I would oppose any effort to send this on down to revenue. I think it's a bill that we need to send onto the floor and see it on its way. It is a matter of fairness and reimbursing them for a service they are providing to the local jurisdiction, and I think it should stand just as it is.
Thank you, Representative Simmons. The circumstances hopefully dictate better distinct evidence. Representative King.
I would hate to lose the opportunity to announce a potential conflict of interest, but being the director of the Oregon International Rotary Cup soccer tournament, in which we receive revenues from motel taxes, and where we rent 2,500 rooms per year, and very aware of that.
Your conflict is so noted. Issues coming through Committee on Revenue.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Witt.
I would just like to note for the record that my supporting it, the referral to revenue, is not to kill the bill, but specifically I'm going to work to try to pass the bill on revenue, because I think it's a matter of fairness to these business owners that are doing the work of collecting revenues for city governments around the state of Oregon.
Mr. Chair. We've had numerous statements on the record that the intention of the Senate sent it to revenue is not to kill the bill. Why don't we just send it to the floor?
President Simmons, it comes down to a matter of counting.
Yeah.
And it would be best to send it to revenue. Okay. Representative King.
All right. And my understanding is we are considering at this moment an amendment to send it to the floor only.
No. There's an amendment on the motion. And the amendment on the motion is, original motion was to send it to the floor. The amendment on the motion, which is the procedure that's currently up, is to send it into revenue.
And we're looking to vote on that one.
We are kind of
somewhere in mulling that at this point.
We're mulling that over. Yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rasmussen.
whether or not it affects one city or a gazillion cities or 90% of the cities or whatever it is, I believe on a fundamental level we are dealing with revenue issues here. We are dealing with a local government's ability to create and collect revenue. And on that basis alone, that requires the referral into the revenue committee, where I will certainly ask for a fair hearing, but that's kind of where it needs to go.
Mr. Chairman, it's not affecting the state's revenues. It's affecting local government's revenue.
Exactly.
And I don't think it has a requirement to go to revenue per se, and I really think the thrust of this bill is fairness to these business owners, and these businesses that are collecting revenues, and most cities in the state recognize that.
Appreciate that, Representative Witt.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Simmons.
Not to keep flogging it if you've made up your mind, but and by all indications that we haven't called the question yet, so evidently you haven't made up your mind.
Not a question of me making up my mind, but
I'll move the previous question if that helps.
Thank you. We have a motion. So.
Question now, of course, is to substitute going to the Committee on Revenue for going to the floor. So the question now is to substitute for the main motion. It's not the main motion. To adopt the substitute amendment to the motion.
Are there objections?
Is there objections?
I object, Mr. Chairman.
Call the roll, please.
For
aye.
Aye.
Motion.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Simmons.
No.
Rich.
No.
President Decker.
Yes.
Chair Hill.
Yes.
621.
So the motion before us now is to send it to the Committee on Revenue.
As amended.
So, Representative King.
I wish to propose an amendment to the
bill. Unfortunately, Representative, the motion before us is to send it to the Committee on Revenue as it stands. That is before us.
We didn't vote on proposing. We only did it in terms of going to revenue. That was the point of my question.
Jim didn't want to.
Oh. Hmm?
Jim didn't want to.
Our dilemma is this. The motion before us is now to send it to the Committee on Revenue. You would have to get consent to amend that motion to include your amendment. I suggest not. You are free to make your decision.
Thank you.
The question now before us is to send it to the Committee on Revenue. Any further discussion? Hello?
President Deckard?
No.
King?
No.
Hummel? I'm sorry.
Sent Riven?
Yes.
Vice Mother?
I'll pass.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Simmons?
No.
Swift?
Aye.
Aye.
Rasmussen votes aye.
No, it's five votes.
Well, if you don't send it there, it's going to die, right?
What?
It's dead if we didn't send it to revenue.
I know, but he doesn't have the nose. He had the eyes.
House Bill 3336 is moved to the Committee on Revenue.
Motion, Mr. Kent.
It went to revenue. Yes. Well, if we hadn't sent it to revenue, it would have been dead. We had the list again before.
You didn't tell me that.
Yep.
Yeah.
We
had the list. I thought you were going to be.
I'm not sure. But if we hadn't been for one, it would have been dead.
I don't think
we could. We couldn't pass that to the floor. We couldn't pass it out on the floor. We have the best to put on the floor. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Well, it's also following some commitments I was making around that time. And one of the things I said is that I needed to get a
there. Can we get over here?
I voted for it into for a fair hearing in the
room. Oh, we don't get out.
Open a work session on House Bill 2735.
I was going to ask how late you were planning on meeting today. Is there
until we're done?
Until we're done, or until we're done?
Until we're done.
Thank you.
If we're done, we run out of forum. I mean, that would be another way to go.
At our present rate, anybody have any candy in their pocket?
Chair, will I be home from home by lunch tomorrow?
I hope so. That's up to you.
2735, Representative Witt, is this you?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 2735 with the Dash 5 amendments. I believe the Dash 5 amendments are the entire bill. What we did is we totally rewrote the amendments into the bill and moved the Dash 5s. What the bill does is it modifies provisions of the Motor Vehicle Dealership Franchise Law. It specifically excludes recreational vehicles, motorcycles, heavier trucks, and I believe mobile homes. And this bill, we had a number of hearings on this bill, and finally came to the Dash 5 amendments after lots of input and discussion between both automobile dealers and manufacturers. And the bill, as it finally emerged through our subcommittee, had no opposition. I'd be happy to go into the provision changes if you'd like me to, Mr. Chairman.
No, I think a motion would be in order.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 2735 as amended to the floor with a due-pass recommendation.
Representative Witt moves House Bill 2735 as amended to the floor with a due-pass recommendation. Discussion? Hearing seen none, is there hope? Representative King.
I have to declare my conflict.
Representative King, there's a conflict of interest for the record. Any further discussion? Representative Trumbull?
With regards to the motorhomes, is this setting it up so that if you were to buy a new motorhome and the oven went out, would the dealer be exempted from having to repair the oven because they sell motorhomes and not sell ovens?
And, Mr. Chairman, Representative, motorhomes are exempted from this bill entirely.
Oh, okay.
So they don't have sale of motorhomes and any warranty requirements or anything like that has nothing to do with this bill.
Okay. So, may I follow up?
Sure.
So, and the reason that motorhomes are exempted is because of that type of problem. Is that correct?
Actually not, Representative. I think this bill was primarily directed to issues that automobile dealers had specifically as an industry. And they work in conjunction with automobile manufacturers. And this bill, as it was initially written, was overly broad in that it unwittingly brought in other types of vehicles that really weren't intended to be the subject of the bill. So they were excluded, not because of that, but simply they didn't really fit the purpose of the bill.
Thank you.
Any technical questions?
No, that's fine. I was just trying to make sure that where it was going. Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion? Is there any objection to sending 2735 as amended to the floor with a due-pass recommendation? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Open work session on House Bill 2576.
No.
Carry this bill out of the regulation. The House Bill 2576 deals with SLAMP. Have we actually got the amendment?
That means we're waiting for amendments.
They were adopted conceptually in the step.
Would that be the Dash 3?
Oh, there is 2576 here. That's three. That's three. They're at our place.
So that's
Mr.
Three.
Chair.
Representative Rasmussen.
May I confirm with Pete Shepherd that the Dash 3s are indeed the conceptual amendments?
Yes, you may. Please, come forward.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Pete Shepherd. I'm the attorney in charge of the Financial Fraud and Consumer Protection Section. Representative Rasmussen, the Dash 3 amendments are those that resulted from the work group, and I believe they are the same as adopted conceptually by the subcommittee.
Thank you. Industry, do you guys all agree? Good. Head shaking. Excellent. Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rasmussen.
Are we in work session?
Yeah, we are indeed.
Mr. Chair, move the -3 amendments in House Bill 2576. They represent the work of the Department of Justice and industry folks as a way to try and get at the practice of stealing customers from each other and one company.
Thank you. Technically, do we need to adopt the -3 since we're adopting the committee conceptual?
I believe that you need to adopt these.
Okay. Representative Rasmussen moves the -3 amendments to House Bill 2576. Is there an objection? Hearing and seeing none, they're adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2576 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Rasmussen moves House Bill 2576 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Discussion?
I guess I should report a potential conflict of interest in the works for
telecommunications. Representative Rosenbaum declares a potential conflict of interest. She works for a telecommunications company. And this
Mr. Chair, I should probably declare one of those myself, having been slammed in the past year.
Thank you very much. And I'm happy to say I no longer work for a telecommunications company. I was sold off out from underneath them, so I don't have to declare conflict of interest anymore.
You were sold off?
Yeah. So, is there any objection? Hearing and seeing that, note Representative Simmons and Representative Witt is excused, and Representative Montgomery is excused.
Sure.
House President 76 goes to the floor. We'll open a work session. Do we have agreement? Is there any? Where's the? Diane, where are we at?
A bill.
3283.
Mr. Chair, we're very close, and we would request that our House Bill 3283 be moved to rules so we can continue our negotiations.
Okay. Chair will move that House Bill 3283 move to the Committee on Rules. Going to continue. They're very close to agreement on that issue.
So without recommendation?
We don't know what the recommendation is, so.
Without?
Yes. That's fine.
Okay.
Very good.
Is there any objection to that? Hearing none? Supported. Let's open a work session on House Bill 3601. This one also needs to go to the Committee on Rules.
I move.
It's been moved by Representative King that House Bill 3601 to move to the Committee on Rules. Any discussion? And seeing none, so ordered.
Does that require a pilot on the toy to rules?
Only if it's a form.
Should make it a bill from Washington. Okay.
Yeah. Open a work session on House Bill 3615. It says a subsequent referral down to Ways and Means, like moves to Ways and Means.
Where are we doing this, Mr. Chair?
Sorry?
What is the purpose of this bill?
Okay. Let's close the work session on House Bill 36. We have a motion to do with Ryan Mosley. Close the work session on House Bill 3615.
Is that one going to come back?
Yes, it will.
Okay. Why?
What is it?
Does it have to? This is not. Representative Crumwell, do you require any voting guidance here on this? Any voting guidance? You know, it's my role as your minister.
Do we require a vote?
Our voting guidance, yeah.
Oh, I get some feedback. Although, Cameron,
okay. Let's open the work session on House Bill 3388. We now have copies of the staff measure summary.
Okay.
3388. Mr. Decker, you want to...
Sure, Mr. Chair. Where I left off on this bill was just explaining that the dash 2 and dash 3, dash 2 being language which was the 12-point type, and then the dash 3 provides remuneration for seniors who have been wronged, allowing them to be taken off the list, and if they spent over $500 in one of these contests, giving them legal recourse.
Mr. Chair, are we in work session?
We are.
Is Ryan moving the dash twos?
Mr. Chairman, the dash twos were adopted in subcommittee along with conceptual amendments that were to be put together by the Department of Justice, P. Shepard.
So the main thing we need to do is just move it up to the floor?
My concern would be that dash 3 may not be exactly the conceptual amendments that were adopted, so you might want to look through those and make sure that you have the dash 3s on the record, is what I would suggest.
All right.
Well, the dash 3 includes the dash 2.
And what is that? Mr. Chair, if I might ask of the staff, what is the concern about? Where do you see the highlights of the 2?
I have not had a chance to look at the dash 3s.
Representative Deckert has a suggestion.
Mr. Chair, I would, just for safety's sake, the dash 3 are the amendments that were conceptually adopted plus the dash 2, so for safety's sake, we might want to adopt the dash 3s, just so we know exactly what's in the bill.
You want to make the motion?
Sure. Mr. Chair, I would move the dash 3 amendments to House Bill 3388.
Representative Deckert moves dash 3 amendments to House Bill 3388. Any discussion? Is there any objection to the adoption of Hearing seeing none, dash 3s are adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the House Bill 3388 as amended to forward to the pass recommendation.
Representative Deckert moves House Bill 3388 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Crumwell?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question, if I may, and that is, does this have any effect on the lottery? Is the lottery considered a promotional type of thing, and would it be, will this have an effect on it?
Mr. Chair, Representative Crumwell, now.
I think the best answer is the lottery is defined in statute as something very specific in sweepstakes, unless they call it out specifically in the definition of what a sweepstakes is, and wouldn't have any effect.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that within the term sweepstakes, that lottery is not included, so that it creates any kind of a problem with that. My understanding of this is that this is to try to keep companies from sending sweepstakes entries to people and then requiring when they send it back in, then they send them this free gift, and then they get a $28 handling fee afterwards. Is that
Certainly, that is definitely one of the goals, is to at least provide a disclaimer, and then provide on the other end the disclaimer up front, and then on the other end, after you've spent the money, some recourse within the elder abuse statute.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any objection to sending House Bill 2388 as amended to the floor? Commissioner, call the roll, please.
Eckert?
Aye.
King?
Aye.
Arnold?
Aye.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Simmons?
Excuse.
Rick?
Excuse. Chair Hill? Aye. House Bill 2388 moves to the floor. Open a work session on House Bill 2663. The chair's intention here is to move this down to Committee on Ways and Means to deal with issues related to information systems that is a vehicle to carry different changes and policies. That's my intention.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, I missed what you were...
Moving House Bill 2663 to the Committee on Ways and Means. No recommendation, just move down to the relating clause information system. It'll carry some issues that relate in terms of information system and my intention for budgetary purposes.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, forward. Let's open a work session on House Bill 2728.
Mr. Chair, thank you. 2728 is the bill that deals with ticket fees. And what the Dash Amendment does in front of you is a compromise, which just simply is a disclosure statement that discloses that a service handling charge will be on in advertisements. What we would need to do, I believe, is take out the Dash 4 amendment, which we adopted last Friday, which put into the bill language that stated that anything that was not a certain dealing fee would have to be into the face value of the ticket. So we'd need to take the Dash 4 out and then put the Dash...
I think that 8 is what?
The Dash 8 in as a disclosure statement.
So remove the Dash 4 and insert the Dash 8. Is that what we need to do?
Where is Dash 8?
They're not after.
I have 2728-4, which I thought was what you were describing. I won't ask what happened to 5, 6, or 7.
Here's the Dash. Here's more copies of Dash 8.
Okay. Mr. Chair?
Representative Rath.
Do you need someone to make that motion?
Yes, the person will be to remove the Dash 4 from the bill.
Mr. Chair, move to remove the Dash 4 amendments from... previously passed. We need a suspension of the rules to do that. Quick parliamentarian check.
I don't believe so.
Mr. Chair, I move to remove the Dash changes in the Dash 4 amendments from House Bill 2728.
Representative Rath has moved to take out the Dash 4 amendments from House Bill 2728. Any objections?
I'm only going to raise a question, Mr. Chair, with regards to the comments that were made by Mr. Conkling and the effect that the Dash 4s were going to have, that the bill was going to have on the industry in the state, and would it make Oregon uncompetitive? Has he seen the Dash 8s, and can he make any kind of a comment on that, or are you inclined to allow any kind of a comment on that?
Sure. Very,
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Gary Conkling, representing Ticketmaster. I have seen the Dash 8 amendments and appreciate Representative Deckert's willingness to reach this compromise, which I think speaks to the consumer concern that he expressed, and we're comfortable with the Dash 8 amendments.
And then, if I may, Mr. Chair, and the Dash 8s then replace the current bill? Is that what we're... I mean, the meat of it anyway?
Representative Crummell, the bill would become simply a disclosure. So originally, in its first iteration, it started at a 15% cap. The bill would now become basically a disclosure statement.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Question to remove the Dash 4 amendments from House Bill 2728. Is there any objection? Have you heard none?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rasmussen.
I move the Dash 8 amendments to House Bill 2728.
Representative Rasmussen has moved the Dash 8 amendments to House Bill 2728. Any discussion?
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I'm just trying to track through. It looks like this amendment is deleting line 13 through 16 and then putting in a new section 2 there. But then are we leaving line 17 through 21 still dangling there? Or is that still supposed to be in there?
Did you put that through?
Yeah.
Okay.
That parenthesis Tuesday is in there.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative Rasmussen, I think that Rosenbaum, I think that this stays in, yes, and it's an exemption. In other words, Representative, the first paragraph of Section 2 requires the disclosure. The retained second paragraph there, which is number 2, retains the exemption for having to provide that disclosure. And the exemption would be officially appointed agents of air carriers, motor coach carriers, et cetera.
Have a motion.
Further discussion? Any objection to the Dash 8s? Hearing seen and so ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rasmussen.
I move House Bill 2728 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Rasmussen moves House Bill 2728 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Discussion? Is there any objection? Representative Witt? Representative Witt, objecting. Were you noting objection?
Pardon me?
Were you noting objection? I'm sorry, no.
Please
call the roll, Annetta. I apologize.
Thank you.
Aye.
Kane.
Aye.
Trammell.
Aye.
Rasmussen.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Simmons.
No.
Sure.
Aye. Excuse. House Bill 2728 moves to the floor.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Witt.
Could I request unanimous consent so I can cast a vote on House Bill 3388?
Representative Witt asks unanimous consent cast a vote on House Bill 3388. Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. How do you vote?
I vote aye.
Representative Wood is voting aye on House Bill 3388.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rasmussen.
I believe I was also out of the room at the time. Would like to cast my vote on 3388.
Without objection. So, how do you vote?
Aye.
Representative Rasmussen votes aye.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Take a moment to figure out what's going on.
Room's been cleaned out.
Yes.
Not only do they look open.
Hey, you guys out there holding up the numbers.
Stand at ease for a second.
Still in the midst of judiciary.